Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and happy Saturday. Guys, you got it. Do you not know that this year is going by so rapidly? We're already in the middle of March. And believe it or not, we're Saturday, March 16th, 2024. You can tune into Live Talk Radio, where you get the information all the way live with a bit of humor and a whole lot of entertainment. And you've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby H. Oaks, known as your Motor City Maharani. And I am so privileged and so honored to have our Haitian correspondent with us, Prince Pierre. He's part of the royal family, along with our wonderful Michigan Maharaja Dave Smith, who's on assignment today, as we're going to say it, quote, unquote, me not. Alas, please. And so we're here. We have a lot of information. Guys, after I give my intro and give you some insights and information, I'm going to turn it over to Pierre Balthazar, Prince Pierre, who's going to give us some insights. As quickly as we ended the broadcast last week, there's been a turbulence of occurrences that have happened regarding the beautiful people of Haiti that you guys need to know about and know what's happening in that country. We give all the information about the Ukrainian war, the war with Russia. We get all the insights about what's going on over in Israel. We get that. That's right. And about what Hamas is doing. But we don't get the insights about what's happening literally in our own backyard. So we're going to definitely give him the opportunity and the platform to address those areas. And hey, guys, you know, it's really interesting that people are already planning for these wonderful celebrations they're going to have on tomorrow, which is referred to as St. Patrick's Day. And so many are even referring to today as being St. Patrick's Eve. What do you think about that, Pierre?
Oh, about St. Patrick's Eve?
Yes.
Well, I would say that's good for the people who are celebrating St. Patrick's.
Yeah.
I know that I don't celebrate that. I celebrate, you know, my own holiday, Kwanzaa or yeah. Christian holidays, you know, like a Christmas thing like that. But St. Patrick, I am totally in solidarity with those who have that roots and that culture.
Yes.
And I'm celebrating still with them. But personally, you know, it is not my culture.
Right.
And I'm not doing anything special during St. Patrick's Day.
Right, absolutely. And I say if I want to eat corned beef and if I want the cabbage, I'm going to do it not for celebratory reasons, but because my appetite is calling out to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That is so true. Yes, indeed. And guys, you know that on May 16th is a very monumental day. And some of these various occurrences that happen on this day in a differentiation of years really impact why March 16th really stands out. And here is one fact, and many of our World War II veterans are still here with us and their descendants, and they're still commemorating some of the most heated battles that took place in the Pacific Theater against the Empire of Japan. And here's one of them, the Battle of Iwo Jima. Who hasn't heard of the Battle of Iwo Jima? It was considered one of the most bloodthirsty and one of the most courageous campaigns that the United States of America launched against the Empire of Japan. Here's, on March 16th of 1945, the United States unleashed an amphibious attack against this predator in the Pacific Ocean, known as the Empire of Japan. There were over 250,000 casualties.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, a quarter of a million.
Yes. In one day from that one Pacific Theater location. But the United States held their ground. And this battle referred to by so many who survived it, who lived through it, called it the most bloodiest confrontation in World War II.
Mm.
Wow. And they're still here to even talk about it, which is so wonderful. And on a more recent note, Back in 1988, Saddam Hussein launched his own attack against the people of Halabja, killing 5,000 civilians as a result of his attack to assert his party, the Ba'ath Party, against his own people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why the people of Iraq, so they had no way out unless this man would be removed. And whoever would do that to his own people was certainly not a noteworthy leader or an honorable leader at all. That happened just in 1988. Isn't that something? And
yep.
In 2008.
Years ago. Yeah.
Yes. Own people.
Yep.
Then in 2008, believe it or not, a huge bankruptcy occurred with the Bear Stearns Bank. And as a result of the huge amount of financial weight that this establishment was under, they were forced to sell over to J.P. Morgan. Are you guys sitting down? Their stock was sold for only $2 per share. And this institution had been a prevalence of financial fluidity for 85 years. They sold their stock for only $2 per share. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow. The strangeness of society and how things can change in less than a microcosmic second. And here it is. Here's another day. On a more positive note, in 1995, India actually declared this as a national vaccination day because children of all ages, of all various religious affiliations, were given the polio vaccine orally.
Amen.
Yes, because this disease was running rampant throughout India, and they declared this as a day of reconciliation and a day of celebration.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's something.
Yes.
India is one of the most populous nation in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, their population rivals China.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed, that's right. And in the year of 1917, the Grand Duke Michael refused to accept the throne of the Russian Empire, and he yielded over his power to the provisional government under the tyranny of Russia, to Grigor Levav. He literally gave up his seat. He did not want responsibility of the leadership of that country. Because Russia, at one time, and we're going to need to talk about the future broadcast, was considered a country divided.
Mm.
And in 1966, on this very day, the launch of Gemini 8, with the astronauts present on that ship, Neil Armstrong and David Scott, performed the first docking of spacecraft in one visitation.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
Wow, you talk about history being a very interesting thing to recollect and to reflect upon. It certainly is. And who could ever forget the beautiful Tammy Terrell, who was considered one of the most powerful and influential voices of Motown. On this day, she succumbed to a brain tumor in 1970.
Oh.
I'm telling you, one of the most premier young women of Motown.
Mm-hmm.
Who could ever forget the beautiful ballads that she and Marvin Gaye did together? It Takes Two, and Heaven Must Have Sent You From Above, and other songs that they could record together. They were considered one of the most powerful duos, male and female, at that period of time. Yes. A young, beautiful young woman with a promising career that just simply was taken away too soon.
Too soon, yeah.
Too soon, yes, yes. And many speculate to the fact that she had been beaten so many times and struck in her cranium.
By Gaye?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
He was so in love. Wow.
Yes. The name of James Brown came up in the conversation about how he literally overly asserted power over her, how he laid the hands on her, as they say.
Oh, man.
Yes. David Ruffin's name came up in the conversation about how he laid the hands on her, and rumor had it that he even struck her with a hammer.
What?
Yes.
Ooh, and yes. She
still remained.
Oh, wow.
Yes, still remained.
Wow.
And by the time she got out of the situation, she actually was performing with Marvin Gaye. He was like the big brother and the protector of her. And that's why she and he had such a special relationship. She actually passed out on stage in 1967 while they were going to perform together.
Mm.
And he, being concerned and loving her the way he did, he canceled the performance and went along to see what was going on with her. She underwent one surgery, and they thought that they had successfully did the job. But however, the reoccurrence, she had been too damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back with a fierceness.
Mm. Wow.
And I just wonder to this day, here and listening audience, did either of those men, and probably collaboratively so others, ever think about the way that they treated this young woman?
Wow.
Isn't that saying? Women suffer in silence. And they think that this is part of a relationship. That's not love. Get out.
No, it is not love.
No, it's not love.
That is control.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Ultimate control. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, cruelty. Inhumane cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, against a defenseless woman. When a woman, I don't care how much we work out and we strength train and we do all of these regimens, women are still the weaker vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And this young woman had no defense until she had a relationship, a strong friendship relationship with Marvin Gaye. And he was her inspiration
mm-hmm.
and her protective barrier.
Mm-hmm.
This is just simply so sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
Yes, it is. It really, really is.
And yeah, I lost respect for Marvin Gaye. I know that's why he's a huge talent.
Yes.
And people in America, black people in America, you know, love him for his songs.
Yes.
That's, almost celebrating black power.
Yes.
But, you know, to have this kind of attitude towards women.
That's right. And everybody hollers about how great James Brown was. And, oh, my goodness. And David Ruffin with the Temptations. And successful solo career. But the cruelty and the animosity displayed mm-hmm. against this woman was just unquestionable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Ooh, almost brings a tear to your eye.
Yeah, bring tears.
Yes, it does. It does. And it's really interesting, Pierre. I'm going to get your insights on this. I was sharing with David that actually, I had a person to reach out to me regarding workplace bullying, and she is a woman. And you know what's strange to say?
Mm-hmm.
That 30%, according to the recent statistics, of Americans have suffered workplace abuse, they call it, or bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, another 19% have seen this happen and remain silent. Then another 49%, listen to this, are affected by it, and 66% acknowledge that this has happened at their workplace, but because of the fear of management or the fear of resentment or retaliation, they remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
And brace yourself for this. Here's the funny part. Women, in 70% of the cases of bullying, are the aggressors, not men.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are aggressive towards other women.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Talking about the topsy-turvy effect.
Okay.
Women are going out against women to verbally abuse them, and this is where most of the bullying is happening. It's not so much, I think it's 12% that's physical, but the remaining percent is verbal and psychological manipulation,
mm-hmm.
attempting to embarrass their coworker or put them on frontal display where others can be entertained by the things that they say and the gestures that they do toward other women.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
Yeah, that is sad. I didn't know that statistics.
Yes, very high statistics.
Most bullying was among children.
Yes.
and then males against males.
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, yeah, well.
Isn't that something?
In the school setting, you know, we have young boys, you know, eating somebody else's lunch on his food and things like that. But
yes.
That most I have seen because I have been mostly exposed to high school kids.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. That's something, the workplace, and they have women and on women bullying, I didn't know anything like that.
Right, that's right. It's kind of like, almost like a war
goal. I'm going to take the stats on that.
Yes. Oh, yes. And it's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
The sad part, these statistics here, hold on to your seat, and this is the sad part.
Mm.
These statistics are reflected in America.
Mm-hmm.
In America itself. And in Europe, there's only 5 to 10% of bullying happening in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So what is America doing that's so, you know, impactful and negative that the European countries are not doing? They don't, they 5 to 10% is extremely.
That will be very interesting research.
Yes.
To investigate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And actually, there was a suggestion to talk about investigating Japan's level of bullying because they're somewhat of a dictatorship when it comes to the workplace.
That's their culture, yeah.
Yes, their culture, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, so they may be heads up with the United States because this is terrible. We're supposed to be the most civilized, the most loving, the most kind, hospitable people in the world, but we cannot manage our workplace environments effectively. And it's women that are doing it.
What a shame.
Isn't that a shame? Very much a shame. And we're certainly going to do some upcoming broadcasts about that because that needs to be addressed because they say that literally these occurrences to the person that's being bullied, they can suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, hypertension, eating disorders, skin disorders, experience anxiety bouts, what they call it, panic attacks, and other issues regarding their health and their psychological well-being.
Wow.
Yes, because I guess they're always, you know, at a miss wondering what's going to happen from one second to the next, and therefore they're always on the prowl, always on the lookout, and then it literally interrupts the positive flow of their, you know, of their biological system and their psychological system as well.
Yeah, yeah. They are related.
Yes, yes.
One, yeah, if one is affected, the other one is going to be affected as well.
That's right.
If you're not well physically, emotionally, you're not going to be well either.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what is that? And here's the fear factor that's going to kick into this here and listening audience. What if that person who's being the victim gets tired of the victim and the supervisor or the manager is not addressing that area or that specific issue?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, that person retaliates.
Wow.
In a way that we don't know whether they could use a weapon, whether they may physically attack that person or do something demonstrative.
Wow.
And then their style comes in. The first thing that the managerial staff and other coworkers will say is that, oh, we should have stepped up and did something earlier. She was trying to say something about this, but no one did anything. Too much, too little, and too late.
Yeah, it happened. Yep. That's the way it happened usually.
Yes, it really is terrible. And this is why it's so important to have these, you know, these work groups, these chat meetings, you know, outside of the business parameter and just have personal dialogue with other workers and then kind of do like a wellness check of a person's behavior if not quite up to the level that it once was. They're not communicating. They're not being open and being accessible as they once were. Wouldn't it be of the better interest of the supervisor of the company or the HR, the human resource department, to kind of tap in and to set up something where everyone in that department or that area can come to the table and talk about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yeah. That's something, yep, they should do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 It should be done, and it should be done quickly in a way that it's, you know, putting everything on the line to make sure that nothing happens. Because I remember there was an instance, and this was back in the year 2000, I perceive. Yes, in the Royal Oak Post Office, there was a postal worker. He was male, though. And he was being bullied in his position. That, you know, the various, you know, officials in his department were making adverse statements about him. And he overheard them talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then they were, you know, being humorous about the treatment that they were giving him. He ended up, as a result, ended up going into that postal station, opening, how you say, rapid gunfire, and analyzing some of the workers in that facility who were on that attacking end.
Mm.
Yes, and that happened, yes, I think that was in the year of 2000.
Wow.
It was horrible. But this is something that should have been addressed. Again, human resources, management, supervisors, department heads, and even coworkers need to get involved and to utilize conflict resolution as a way of mediating for this and getting middle of it. So many people don't want to get engaged or involved in it. Say, well, it's not me. They're not bothering me. But who's to say you won't come next?
Yeah.
And if a person retaliates violently, who's to say you will be out of the range of the fury?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And, you know,
yeah,
firearms, that's right. And firearms and the artillery that they unleash have no definitive names and oftentimes no definitive targets when a person is angry. Because when they're angry and they're hurt and they feel as though the world is combating against them, their emotions can steer out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we need to come up with some clarity strategies on where we can resolve these and end this workplace abuse, as they call it, and bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And the saddest factor is this, too. Grab your seats. The majority, 40% of the bullying is not coming from management so much. It's coming from various coworkers.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is.
They have problems taking their anger on each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know that's how the workplace is very much affected by management.
Yes.
First, in terms of the salary.
Oh, yes.
And then in terms of how the co-workers feel at the job, because
yes.
Michigan in particular, for a long time, we didn't have any union.
Right.
It was a right to work place.
Yes.
There wasn't any representation. And in particular, in the school system where I was, we saw a lot of management and principals of schools becoming dictators.
Yes.
They can be. And they force a lot of people to retire early and then change the workplace environment, the climate of it.
Yes.
And still now, in 2024, and that started with the government Snyder when, you know, we go from the management, when it started, Michigan become a right-to-work place.
Yes.
And that's almost many years after. In Lansing in particular, almost all the staff I know of are gone. They left for another.
Really?
Yeah, they left. So Lansing School District is, the shortage is so dire.
Yeah.
As they are paying a sub up to $300 a day.
Just really?
To show up.
What?
Yeah. They have reduced it to $250 and they reduce it further to $200. Still a lot of money compared to the surrounding. Places, that's because they allow the managers, the principals, and the administrators to become so much dictator.
Wow.
That's it destroy the fabric and the life of the place as we knew it.
That's horrible.
A lot of people cannot take that stress.
No, they can't.
Especially if they have choices.
Yes.
They can go to the nearby school and get hired.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's what happened in my school system when I was in school teaching.
That's a lot. $250 is even an exceeding amount.
There are places in Lansing right now, when you go, you make more money than a regular job as a sub.
Wow, yes, indeed. That's right. You said at one time it was $300? What?
Yeah, when I heard $300, I was in Georgia. I take the first flight in Michigan.
I don't blame you.
I get the first flight.
I don't blame you. That's right. You said you took the first flight out. I don't blame you. Oh, my
God. Yep. Yeah, and then by the time I get there, they reduce it to 250 in some places. There are places it's 200.
Okay. Ooh,
it's still good.
Yes!
In Georgia, where I was, you know, you get like $15 an hour if you're lucky.
That's right. That's
the minimum wage.
Right. That is true.
And people are just glad to have it.
Yes.
They are paying me 200. That's for a day of work. A day of work is like 5-6 hours.
Really?
Yeah, come on. Yeah, it's not really 8 for a sub, you know, because you include your lunch and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, and then you don't have nothing to do at home. You don't have paper to grades. You don't have parent-teacher conference. You don't have nothing of those to do. So the next day you come in and make $200 again.
Wow!
$1,000 a week for a full week, and $4,000 a month.
That's right.
$48,000 a year.
Wow! It doesn't get you less than that.
I mean, you think I'm going to let that go?
No.
I came out of retirement very quick.
I don't blame you. You took the express, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I take a jet.
I don't blame you. Yes.
You know, so.
Oh, my God.
This is the result of bullying, as you call it, but bullying from the management, from the principals.
Yes.
But this is the result as well
of
them being empowered. Using power not to using power to put themselves up.
Yes.
To show off.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using power to be able to make the workplace a place of love.
Yes.
A climate of understanding, of compassion.
See?
But it takes 10 years. After that, everything can come falling apart.
That's right. That's right. And now the shortage is so severe, they got to go above and beyond to compensate people to come in.
And they cannot find any. They cannot find any. They're hiring people who, off the street. If you have any degree, they give you 2 years to be able to, or three, to be able to finish your certification.
Wow.
But then in the meantime, they hire you, and you're in probation for that time. But they can afford to fire you because they don't have anybody to replace you.
Isn't that something? Wow. Isn't that? And are there any long-term subs in your area that perhaps may be holding down a certain grade?
There are long-term subs.
Wow.
But people are looking for places where they can enjoy the work and at the same time make the money.
That's right.
They do not want to go to a place where the kids are so, the misbehavior is so bad.
Yes, oh my gosh.
Crying or stressing or getting hurt or.
Yes.
you know, trying to break fights and things like that.
Right.
So, for example, myself, I don't go to the high schools.
Oh,
because
really?
I don't want to. No, I want to elementary school. It's the same money.
Right.
It's less stress.
Absolutely.
Nobody will take a swing at me when I'm teaching kindergarten.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
you prefer the lower grade levels, don't you?
No, because I'm not going to expose myself to stress. I have done it when I had to. Because
right.
I had my kids, I have to put food on the table.
Yes.
You know, that time is long gone.
Great.
So
yes.
I'm coming back to enjoy myself.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Make the money. And in the meantime, in the process of making the money, I'm trying to make a difference.
Absolutely.
But not with kids who don't want to be here.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I don't blame you. No, you're right. Because that's like fighting a war with no artillery. You got the gun, but no artillery in it. And they don't want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
It's got this back-talking behavior. They pull out their phones and start calling and texting people. And I said, what is it lawful for students to walk in a classroom with phones anyway? That needs to be outlawed.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, they're going to use that phone no matter what.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so you see the reason why I avoid certain areas. The school district has to pay people a lot of money for people to consider coming.
That's right. That's
they,
right.
They don't want to deal with that bullshit.
That's right. Thank you. Absolutely. No, you don't. You have enough to contend with in your own life, and like you say, taking on an extra burden, that's unbearable.
Yeah. They're not going to do it.
No, they're not going to do it, and I don't blame them. And that's for those of us who have stuck it out this long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you know, we must be some very brave soldiers.
Yeah, there was a time when I did it, you know.
Yeah.
I was a brave soldier. I still have a strong accent, didn't speak good English.
Yes.
Since Mary, I was mathematics, so then, you know. I probably have some kind of, an open door. People can understand the numbers. They may not see what I'm doing.
Right.
They cannot hear me when I'm talking, but they can see the numbers. They can follow the logic.
Yes.
So that way I survive it. But, then it was another time.
Oh, yes.
So you had compassion, you have love, you have support, you have, you know, all those kind of things that come along with a place well run.
Right.
Yeah, no bullying and things like that, and people listen to you and this kind of things.
That's
that
right.
Was the time. So we're talking about bullying.
Yes.
That's my side of it.
What I observe.
Yeah.
See, that's awful. And so, like, you just literally define for us, like, the trickle-down effect of the result of that people just leaving, fleeing by the drones.
Yeah. And then we're not talking about how many lawsuits against the school district because the principal trying to abuse the teachers to evaluation because they had an evaluation where so the evaluation after so many times so they can push you out of the door.
They sure can.
Yeah. So principal are trying to get out, push out the people they don't like.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah.
The ones who won't bend and bow to their demands.
Yeah. So then you have to come and then spy for them and stuff on the staff members and things like that. And then you are on power. So to protect yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's so wrong, you know.
this kind of environment existed during the time when Snyder was a governor.
Oh yes.
Right to work, place. I don't know how it was in Detroit. but that's the way it was in Lansing, in my district.
Right, right. In Detroit, you know what they did as a way of manipulating and monopolizing? They installed these emergency financial managers.
Oh, that was even worse.
Yes, wasn't that worse? Secondary dictatorship.
Yeah, and the closing schools and things like that based on the one test.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We definitely are going to have to do a show about that and talk about the experiences that we had on the public school sector level because it was unbearable. That was another form of bullying, corporate bullying.
Oh, yeah. Yes, corporate bullying.
Yes, indeed. Now, listen, Prince Pierre, you've got to tell us what's happening in Haiti. So much has transpired since our last broadcast. It's literally unreal. I said, wait a minute. Are we reading Time Magazine?
I'm happy to see what's happening in Haiti.
Yes.
So, you know, last week we talked about the problem in Haiti itself and how it started. But this week is a continuation of it. So we're looking at the biggest development of this week was that the prime minister has resigned.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the prime minister has resigned, and his name is Henry, Ariel Henry. He has resigned. Now, his resignation is in itself is worth a whole show.
Right.
Yeah. A whole program should be dedicated to his resignation.
Oh, yes.
Now, the man is well-educated, and the man was placed in Haiti because of his capacity, his at least presumption that he can do what is right for the country, because he's a neurosurgeon, and he was a professor here in the United States in California, and then he educated in France, but he was born in Haiti. So all those kind of background, Western world, and exposed to development, exposed to all kind of principles of development, was assets we believe were going to be used for the benefit of the Haitian people. Now, he wasn't doing politics because he was in charge of a lot of, at least the Minister of Health, or Interior Minister. I didn't investigate what kind of minister he's in charge of, but for the last 15, 20 years, he has been involved in politics in Haiti. So you look at somebody who's Western educated.
Yes.
And then at the same time with experience on the ground, we're hoping that he was going to do a little look better than his predecessors. Because if you have more, they expect more.
Right.
You know, so that's the way I see it. But the man turned out to be worse than anybody we can ever see.
Oh, my goodness.
In the history of corruption in Haiti.
Wow.
Yeah, so now how he resigned? He resigned because he left the country to go to Africa. And then on his way back, the gangs, I think I mentioned that last week, decided he's not coming back.
Oh.
Because if he's coming, if he come to this airport, they are shooting on the plane.
Wow.
So he tried to divert his flight and led in Dominican Republic, which is next door to us. It's an island divided into Dominican Republic and Haiti. But the Dominicans don't want to take any responsibility of the man trying to transiting on the land into Haiti,
right?
Because they can assassinate him.
Well, absolutely.
If they assassinated him, they hit him so much.
Wow.
Everybody hit him so much.
Wow, he doesn't have any friends at all.
He hasn't friend at all.
Wow.
But the only reason he was in power, that's because the United States love him so much.
Yes.
if we hate somebody so much that so the United States interests, that person is serving so well.
Right.
You know, that's the him so much. So therefore, the United States doesn't want him to be assassinated either.
Okay.
Force him to resign. So he's stuck in Puerto Rico. And then he resigned last week.
Wow.
That's the biggest news.
Whoa.
So far in the whole drama about Haiti. That's the biggest news. The prime minister resigned. And we are forming a new government. We call it a transitional government. That will take care of the day-to-day operation of the country. But in the meantime, the gangs are in charge. They are the ones who have the gun.
Really?
And you know that's what they do with the gun. With the gun, they are setting fire everywhere. They are, you know, I mean, it's chaos everywhere. It's killing people they don't like or killing people they have a problem with and killing people in their own. It's like Gaza.
Right.
It's like Gaza. It's like you said before, when they killed 250,000 people in Japan.
Yes.
They are killing at random.
Yes,
they may target somebody in particular, but in general they target everybody. So we can't even put a name on what they're doing, whether it's resistance or protest against the prime minister, anger. We don't know. We have to take some time to be able to analyze the situation and put a label on it.
Yes.
And then see what the hell the gangs are doing. What is it? Why are they acting like this?
Right.
They are destroying a country. They are destroying the institution. They are destroying public places, which need to be rebuilt with the money that can be used to build schools.
Yes.
To build hospitals.
Yes.
Roads. You know. So we're trying to figure out why they are doing it, but we don't.
Right.
We will never know.
Never
we'll
know.
One time.
Right.
You know, we know one time, so what's motivated them to do things like that?
Right. Now I'm going to ask you a question here. I'm looking here. It says overthrow the system. Haiti gang leader, Cherizier.
Yeah, Jimmy Cherizier.
So what do you know about this character? He looks a little bit insidious.
well, Jimmy Cherizier is a very complex character. He's a gang member, but at the same time, he's not a kidnapper.
Okay.
The money he gets, and I don't know how he gets his money. He probably gets his money by offering protections to various people.
Yes. So
they will, for example, somebody will pay him because the National Police, all those institutions, they collapse. They have collapsed a long time ago.
Right.
So people don't rely on gang members to protect them.
Okay.
So you pay fee and he protect you. But then the money he uses for development and create school in his neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jimmy Cherizier, is another kind of gang member. He doesn't mean that he's not ruthless.
Okay.
Yeah, he is ruthless, but in general, people can see that he's not using the same form of he's not using his gun for the same bad purpose that the other gang members are doing.
Oh, that's so good.
At least he has. It's like the drug cartels in Mexico.
Yes.
When they get that money, sometimes they do good things in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And then that's exactly what Jimmy Chavez is doing. He will send you a bill, though. If you live in his area or close to it, he will send you a bill and tell you that I'm protecting you. You pay me so much a month.
Oh, really?
If you don't pay it, so then you can see your house set on fire. But, you know.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
That's like a vigilante justice.
Yeah. So he's kind of different, but. Okay. The point is, he has other people behind him.
Oh.
He has other people behind him. Because Jimmy Chavez knows his limitation. He cannot be the president of Haiti.
Yes.
He knows his limitation.
Okay.
So therefore, there are people who are using his gun. Using him or sending him to do some, you know, work for them. In the what is happening right now, they are forcing the government, transitional government that's being formed,
yes.
The gang leaders are forcing them for them to have a voice and to use what you call truth reconciliation so they can let, you know, don't prosecute them because they know that's how the next government that is coming after the prime minister is going probably to have it some kind of tribunal.
Yeah.
Gang members.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many things are there in Haiti? How many are there that you know of?
Yeah. Hmm?
There are a lot of gangs there. Or just a few that really stand out.
Oh, you cannot count them because they have. Now, if you look at Port-au-Prince, you can know the big names.
Yes.
You can know the big names, and then you can only know, and they don't even give the names. They have like aliases names, you know, like phone. Jimmy Chavez, his name is Barbecue. He called himself Barbecue.
Yes, I saw that.
yeah, that's his name, Barbecue. But every single one of them don't give the names, so you don't even know what the names are.
Right.
You don't know where they operate from.
Wow.
Yeah, you know that's how there are people. There are people who operate from the north side of Port-au-Prince, from the south side of Port-au-Prince, from the east side, from the west side. We are, like a circle. By
wow.
Gang members, and sometimes the gangs are competing between themselves for turf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they will fight between themselves.
Hmm.
And you know, fighting with gun and you are shooting to kill.
Yes.
They are bystanders. They don't even care.
They sure don't.
Yeah, they don't care about the bystanders, and then sometimes we have more bystanders being dead, okay, then the gang member themselves. And sometimes
wow.
To the neighborhood where the gang members live, and then they set everything on fire.
Really?
Yeah. So you will see, for example, Lele neighborhood where people are living, 10 of them live in one room.
Wow.
They are so poor.
Wow.
So all those people are being displaced.
That's
because the gangs are fighting between themselves. And one decide, I am going to destroy the whole place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and that happened a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
so what was actually the safest place for residents in Port-au-Prince?
There is no safest place in Port-au-Prince anymore.
Really?
No, there is no such thing as safest place. Now, the one who are rich, it is not necessarily that 100% of people are going to be killed. If you, you know, it seems to me that it's not random. They probably, if they are fighting against themselves, there is random. People are going to be killed anyway.
Right.
The innocent bystanders. But other than that, they know what they're doing. They have a list of people who are influential, people who have money, people who just come from America. You know, so they're going to kidnap you for ransom.
Right.
And then that's the way they make their living. But in terms of that, there is no safest place. The safest way for you who are living in Port-au-Prince is to probably know somebody who know a gang, and then you decide to pay them.
Oh, it has to be an exchange of money.
Yeah. You pay for your life. If you know that, and then there are cases where people are going to use a gang member to kill somebody else because he's, you know, they want somebody killed. Somebody is influential or somebody is a competitor for elections and for government or whatever reason. So you can hire a gang member to kill somebody else for you.
That's crazy. So there's literally no police, no law enforcement, no nothing.
There is no such things anymore.
Wow.
So that's why we said that when the prime minister came in, we knew that he was going to do the right thing. And the right thing for us, we believe, was him to do things, you know, like safety and security, strong police, and create a strong judicial system, you know, where the judges are not corrupt, so you can, you know, they have sentences and they have prisons, they have all kind of things. We know that Sir is not going to do that overnight, but we know that Sir, with the backing of the international government that he has.
Right.
You know, so then he can negotiate those kind of things in.
Right.
You know, because a lot of people saw him as the savior.
See, mm-hmm.
Background and then his exposure to France and the United States. And he's, you know, I mean, he spent his whole childhood, well, not his childhood, maybe his adulthood, studying abroad.
Wow.
So we know that he was going to address this kind of problem because the people wanted security, they wanted those kind of things and safety for themselves, and the schools should be safe and the kids should be allowed to go to school.
Yes.
But it turned out he was put as a prime minister to organize elections for changing of government for a president in a year. It has been 3 years. He has never done it. 3 and a half.
Wow.
Because he loved the power so much, he wanted to keep it.
He was just getting paid.
He was getting paid. Wow. And a lot of people believe that he paid himself. A lot of the government, the presidents in Haiti, or prime minister, they are multimillionaire.
That's
because there is no oversight.
Wow.
There is no oversight. It's not that, you know, there is no oversight. Your salary and then what you get from other sources in the government, you know,
wow.
The government, like million of dollars or something like that.
Yes.
All the aid that's coming.
Oh, that's a lot.
Government that end up in your pocket.
So really, less than 20% probably was even, you know, spent on behalf of the people there.
I would say less than 10% is spent on behalf of the people.
Oh my gosh! I mean, that's criminal.
There's nothing that is spent on behalf of the people.
Oh, my gosh.
In 2010, we have $30 billion. Out of it, at least $10 billion was being disbursed. There is not.
That's awful.
There's nothing. I mean, there's nothing. They don't rebuild a house. They don't rebuild the roads. They didn't rebuild a hospital. They didn't rebuild a school. They have done nothing whatsoever.
So that means just literally in the pockets of these.
Yeah, the money end up in somebody's pocket.
That is just wicked. And there's nobody to give an accountability to.
There is no accountability.
Wow.
No accountability. The president has all power.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the president has all power. So as soon as you get to that chair of being the president, nobody wants to leave.
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody wants to leave.
Well, and maybe it's probably the only nation that's in that catastrophic state.
Yeah, well, you know, that's in Africa we have a lot of nations like that.
Yes.
You know, and probably South America.
Yes.
But the point is, if you look at the type of colonization we have, the French type of colonizations has worse poverty. So the French colonized have a worse poverty, whether it's in Africa.
Wow.
In Haiti is a case in point, because the French system is, they don't build any capacity. Everything is to be done in France. They would take the raw material and then send it to France. The sugar is made in France, but they will take all the raw material and then make the sugar in France. They will take. So therefore, they don't believe that the slaves they are using should learn a trade, other than being like an object.
That's all.
Menial job, and then that's the French. The British create capacity. So for them, you have to make money. The more money you make, the more money the master is going to make.
That's awful.
Yeah. So that's the way the British see it. So if you go to Africa and look at all the previous British colonies, they're more advanced than the French. It doesn't mean that they are optimum. They probably should be better if they have all the capacity or all the if they are not occupied. They were just enslaved. But at least those people can maintain the roads. They can maintain the roads. They can, keep the electricity going. They can keep all those things going. In Haiti, the French have done nothing. There is nobody who can do anything. You have to rely on the French themselves to come back and do it for you.
And it's awful. No labor relations, no utilities. Governor, as far as,
they don't train anybody to do any of those things. They don't put any schools whatsoever.
This is really, really something. We've got to pick this up again next week.
So next week I won't be there. I'll be flying to Florida on that Friday.
Okay. Well,
the week after that.
Okay, great. We'll look for you in another 2 weeks, that we can go back to this discussion to find out what we can do as citizens. And I think I asked the question last week, but when you come back with some strategic information on what we can do to improve the situation there, who we need to contact to help our brethren there. This is so sad and so disheartening.
All right. Thank you.
It really is. So closing remarks from you, wonderful Mr. Balthazar.
Yeah. All right. So see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, indeed. And thank you so much for all your valuable time and information. And listen, everybody, knowledge is power. Let's share the wealth. Have a wonderful afternoon and enjoy the rest of your weekend. And to those of you who are celebrating, Happy St. Patty's Day tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.